Good evening. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Father, I just come before you now, ask for your help in presenting the message that you've laid on my heart this evening. Just pray that it will land on soft ground and that everyone here will leave fired up for you. And we just ask these things in your son's precious name. Amen. So I've entitled this message, "Who is Your Role Model?" And just to start it out, I mean, I'm sure a lot of y'all have done some studying on Ephesians chapter 5. It's a pretty popular chapter. We're also going to go into chapter 6 a little bit. Going to be running through this real quick, but to start it off, just a little joke that I've picked up along the way. Dad's definitely given me that example, and so we'll jump right in. Children are natural mimics. We act just like our parents in spite of their efforts to teach us good manners. Well, we see here, verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." So we see who we really need to imitate. And that's what we're going to be talking about this evening, how to be an imitator of God. I mean, that's a pretty in-depth topic to cover in the next 13 minutes. But that's what we're going to talk about. And it says to do it as dear children. As a child looks up to their parents and imitates what they do, or looks up to somebody else that they are close to and tries to do what they do. That's what we need to do with God. But we see the first word in this verse is therefore, so you got to look at what's right before it too. And Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Wow. Kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving others as Christ forgave us. Imitate Christ. Well, kindness, an unselfish concern for the welfare of others, a desire to be helpful even at great personal sacrifice. Tender-heartedness, a sympathetic, affectionate, and compassionate interest in others, and a willingness to bear their burdens. Forgiveness, a readiness to pardon offenses, to overlook personal wrongs against oneself, and to harbor no desire for retaliation. Imitate Christ as He has forgiven us. So, how do we do this? Well, the next several verses talk about some different ways of our Christian walk that we need to live in. We're going to talk about walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom, and in the Spirit's power. So, verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." That means giving of ourselves for others, just like we talked about. Just like Christ did for us. He is our perfect example. He left heaven's glory, paid the ultimate sacrifice by giving Himself on the cross for us. He loved us, and the proof of His love is that He died for us. And His gift is described as an offering and a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Can you say that your Christian walk is a sweet-smelling aroma to God? I know I can't sometimes. Walking in light, down to verse 8, "For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Well, it says that we were darkness, but now we're light. It also says to walk in light. But you got to remember that you are light. And we live in a dark world. And because we are in Christ, and Christ is the ultimate light, that's how we are light. And we need to remember that, so we need to walk as children of light. We are God's children. Goodness here is an inclusive term for all moral excellence. Righteousness is an integrity in all dealings with God and men. And truth is honesty, equity, and reality. We need to have these things in dealing with people and in being light to them. If you put all of these things together, you have a life you have the light of a Christ-filled life out in this dark world. And we need to also seek out what is acceptable to the Lord and put every thought, word, and deed in that light. Is that really what Christ wants us to be doing? Does this honor Christ? So again, I ask, is your Christian walk a constant light to the dark world around us? And then moving on to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To walk circumspectly is to live in light of our position as God's children. It calls us to walk in wisdom and not to be a fool. Walking as a fool means to descend from this high plane to the conduct of worldly men. God's called us to live a life separate from the world, not as fools. The walk of wisdom calls us to redeem the time and buy up opportunities. Redeeming the time means living lives noted for holiness, deeds of mercy, and words of help. The walk of wisdom is also to discern God's will for our lives. And then, not just to discern God's will, but to obey it completely. We've got to find out what the will of God is. So we have to seek it out. We have to find our spiritual gift, like the young adults are going to be doing here in the next few months. And we have to put it into practice. Are you walking wisely by redeeming the time that you have on earth for Christ? Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This applies to all believers, just like what we just read. All of it applies to all believers. It applies to your Christian walk, and it applies to the relationships that we have with other people. We need to live a Spirit-filled life. We got to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not of ourselves that we can do it. We got to use His power. But how do we know that this applies to everyone? Well, it goes through the next several verses, going through into chapter 6, and talks about all these different relationships that this will apply to. Verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So we see it applies to the marriage relationship. So it applies to anyone that's married. Then we see the home environment. 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So that's children and parents. I think that includes everybody in here. And then the work environment. Verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. And verse 9 says, "And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." So we've got servants and masters. And I know many of these, or almost all of these areas, apply to almost everybody in here. And they apply to all the other believers as well. We need to apply these walks of love, light, wisdom, and we got to walk by the Spirit's power, not our own. But then it continues in chapter 6, and it shows us how we need to live this out as far as going out of this place and into the world by putting on the armor of God. Now, and I'm thinking about this in a physical aspect, if you put on a general's armor, everyone's going to see a general. Now, if we put on the armor of God, what are people going to see when they look at us? They're going to see God. We'll read verses 10 through 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And we go on to read about what all of these different pieces are in the armor of God. And there's a whole series of messages on how this armor can protect you against all of the attacks of the wicked and of the devil and of the world. But let's think tonight about how putting on this armor can portray Christ to those around us. If you put on these things, truth, righteousness, peace with the gospel, faith, people are going to see this. And they're going to see who you represent. But if you're not first walking in love, walking in light, walking circumspectly in wisdom, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I highly doubt somebody's going to want to, dare I even say need, to put on armor. Because you're not going to be on the front lines. You're not going to be near the battle. We need to be walking in light, walking in love, and in all these areas. And then we're going to need the armor of God, so that we can withstand the attacks of the wicked, but also so that we can show the world what Jesus looks like. So who are you imitating? Are you imitating Christ and seeking after him? Or are you seeking the things of the world? When people see you, do they see Christ? Or do they see someone that looks just like themselves? Do people come up to you and ask you for prayer or ask for answers to spiritual questions? Do they even know that you're a Christian unless you tell them? Imitate Christ as his children. Walk in love, walk in light, walk circumspectly in wisdom, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and put on the whole armor of God. Just go into the world as a representative of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you now, thankful for who you are and what you've done for me. Just thank you for the gift of your Son and his sacrifice, and just the love that he has shown to me, and just the grace and the mercy that he gives every day. I can never thank you enough for that, for his sacrifice, and for the salvation that I have through him. Just pray that I will take this message and apply it to my own life and be a representative of you in this dark world, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in wisdom and by your Spirit's power, and that I'll put on this armor so that I can be a representative of you and withstand the fiery darts of the evil one, but also so that people will see who I am and who you are. I'm sorry, not to see who I am, but to see who you are, Father. I just pray that I will seek to honor and glorify you in every area of my life. And I just pray the same for everyone else here, that we'll go out into the world as your witness. And it's in your Son's precious name. Amen.